from Music City, Nashville, Tennessee. Two verses and a chorus shy of a hit song. Here they are. It's Scott and it's Hino.
And the Music Row Show.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Music Row Show. We're pretty thrilled that you're listening right now.
Yes.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. What Hino said is just true. We'd love for you to join in the conversation. Log on to facebook.com/The Music Row Show and chat alongside with us.
That's right. You can also hit us up on Twitter at The Music Row Show. And after the show, you can find us on Instagram and check out some lovely pictures from tonight. And we're going to be visiting with Bill Lloyd. He might actually be joining us.
But wait.
What?
Did you know that we're on TV? Not just in...
What?
Yeah.
We are?
Yeah. But we've been in like, I don't know, what 5 million homes around the country. But Dish picked us up a couple months ago.
That's right.
And now we're all over the place.
We're all over the place. You can watch us 4 times a week on Dish on Channel 73. All over the country. I think about 22 million homes right now. Mm-hmm. And for the first time ever here in Nashville, which is kind of cool.
Very exciting.
Very exciting.
We were going to have Bill, but Bill has not shown up yet. I hope he's okay.
So we actually tied Haley Witters, our first hour guest. We actually tied her to the chair, not letting her leave, just so that we can
hopefully
get another...
You know that's illegal, right?
Well, this is radio.
We more guilted her.
Yeah, they're virtual.
It was, yeah.
Ropes, you know, not real.
Yeah, which are worse.
Yeah.
Guilt.
Guilt ropes.
Yeah.
They're awful.
Yeah. Absolutely. Gilded ropes. Yeah. No, we're here with Haley Witters and Anthony Olympia and Emily.
That's just a fun name to say.
It is, Anthony. Because I want to call you Mr. Olympia. Hey. You've heard that all your life, haven't you?
Yep.
Yeah.
Mostly by my inferiors, but.
Right.
Oh, well, wow. He said mostly by his inferiors. Yeah. I don't know if his mic is on, but.
What? Is it not on? Or no. Were you just.
No, I was repeating it so the audience could hear it.
Well, you've been repeating a lot lately, so I didn't know if that was just your new thing.
No, his mic wasn't on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
They make these things called headphones. I don't know. You should try them sometime.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Actually, we're just going to go off the air and fight right now.
Right now.
Right now. Okay. But since we ran out of time to get a third song in the last hour, you feel like playing us one more?
Yeah, I'll play one.
I love it. Haley Witters is now our favorite.
Yes, the favorite. I'm going to play One More Hell, actually, which is about...
Oh, sweet.
We were kind of talking about it earlier, but my brother passed away about 4 years ago in a car accident, and he was 19. And my whole family just kind of... We literally packed our bags the day after the funeral, and we're like, let's go out west and just hang out and be together. And so we all jumped in the car and drove, and we didn't really have a destination or anything we were trying to see. We just wanted to start driving, and we went to Utah and saw the canyons, and we went to Vegas.
Nice.
Vegas with the fam.
Nice.
And
it's such a family-friendly
place.
Yeah.
And we went to California and started driving up the coast, and I think it was probably the best therapy we could have done, but... When I got back to Nashville, I hadn't played much that summer, and when I got back, I sat down, and this was the first song that came out. It's called One More Hell. Talking to your grave makes me unafraid to die. Then I take a breath, and I'm glad to be alive. I've heard that with time the pain will go away, and my tears will all dry up, and I'll smile when I hear your name. Well, Mama's not right, and Daddy's still mad. He wants to kick God's ass. He says that it ain't right, he took you so fast. As for the rest of us, we're doing the best we can. There's only so much you can figure out, and we're trying to understand. And if heaven's like they say it is, save me, see.
wait to hear you laugh and have you next to me. If I had a superpower, I know what I would do. I'd forget about the hell to pay and raise one more hell with you. Well, ever since we were kids, we've been up to no good. We got a reputation for not doing the things we should. Like the time we took our trucks and tore up the neighbor's farm. We were always causing trouble, never meant to cause no harm. And if heaven's like they say it is, save me, see. I can't wait to hear your laugh and have you next to me. If I had a superpower, I know what I would do. I'd forget about the hell to pay and raise one more hell with you. Well, I talk about you a little, but I think about you a lot. I'd kill for another memory, but I'm thankful for the ones I've got. And if heaven's like they say it is, save me, see. I can't wait to hear your laugh and have you next to me. If I had a superpower, I know what I would do. I'd forget about the hell to pay and raise one more hell with you. I'd forget about the hell to pay and raise one more hell with you.
Love that.
Thank you.
Well, I'm curious, since you are an official recording artist, do you sing your own demos when you're pitching to other people, or is it a better idea to not have your voice on them because you are a recording artist?
I do.
You just sing them?
Yeah, I just do.
Yeah?
I feel like it's funny. Whenever you're in a co-write, if the other co-writer can't sing, they're like, hey, can you sing this?
Sure.
Just, you know, to cut costs down and stuff.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I haven't really hit that point yet where I feel like it's harming me to have my voice on every demo that I do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be all over everything, because then I think people in town almost get immune to your voice and they're like, you know. But, and sometimes I feel like, you know, it might hurt. Like, Chris Stapleton is such a great vocalist.
Oh, he's awesome.
You know, like, when people hear, he really sells any song. He can sing the phone book and people would be like, oh my God, that's great. You know, but I'm not Chris Stapleton.
Well, and everybody knows, you know.
Everybody knows.
But it also, then, does it make it sound like a Chris Stapleton song?
Yeah.
Or make you think, oh, I couldn't sing that because he sounds so great.
Yeah.
Well, talk about the song selection process for your own project, because, you know, here you have this catalog.
Yeah.
But it's like, okay, well, these were pitching. So, I mean, how do you go about deciding what to use?
Really, it's just like when I'm listening to something and I'm like, God, I wish I wrote that. You know, like Mondo Signs and Shelley Colvin wrote Pocket Change, and I was listening to Mondo's record, Studebaker, and I just loved like the language and the words. And I was like, I want that song so bad. So I started just covering it in my sets, and it became just something kind of one of the family, you know. And City Girls is the other one that I didn't write. Adam and Shannon Wright wrote that. And a friend had played that for me, and Shannon was singing the demo, and I was a little bit like Chris Stapleton syndrome. I was like, God, I want that song. She kills it. Like, she's so good. But I grew up in Iowa, and my house was like in the middle of a cornfield, and I went to a high school that everyone called Cow Pie High. Like, so glamorous, you know, just out in the country. And I used to be like a dramatic teenager, and I was like, I can't wait to get out of the country and move to the city. And now, you know, so I felt like I could relate to that song a lot. I feel like it's a fresh way of saying I'm country without saying I'm country, you know?
Right.
So I wanted to put that song on there for sure. I instantly knew both those songs, that if I made a record, I wanted them on there.
So you add low. Oh shoot. Low all afternoon. You add that, and then Martina cuts it.
Yeah.
What's going on in your head when that happens?
I don't know, and it's cool, too, because it's like, well, yeah, but it's also, well, one, it's my first cut. Like, I haven't had a cut before, so, mm-hmm. and two, to have it be, one, a song that I wrote that I actually like, and two, one that I wrote by myself. Like, you know, that's sure. just super crazy to think, you know, because I just... You turn in songs and you're like, I don't even know if anyone's going to like this.
Right.
You know? And then to have, it's so validating to have someone like Martina McBride feel like it's worthy of being on her album. You know, it's a cool feeling for sure.
What's that like when you're writing songs? Because you mentioned that's actually one that you like. So I'm guessing there might be some that you are not too crazy about yeah. because you said that. Have you ever been surprised by turning a song like that in and then people respond to it in a complete opposite way than you thought they were going to?
Yeah, like, it's kind of funny when you turn in songs and your publishers are like, I really like this one. And I'm like, really? That one? You know, or you play songs and when people, you know, just gravitate towards certain ones, you're like, really? I don't know. I think you really got to get, just especially when you're writing, you kind of just got to get out, try and get out of your
sure.
head and just write it, you just, know, and the ones people connect to, they connect to.
Just take credit for it, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, listen, we got to take a quick break. Okay. We're going to be back, hopefully, with more of Haley Witters here on the Music Row Show. And we want to remind you that our sponsor of this segment is the guys over at Toyota of Cool Springs. Scott and I both drive Toyotas, and we get to be there all the
and
time.
And guess what?
What?
Not only are they Toyota of Cool Springs.
That's right.
They've also just picked up the Dodge Chrysler Jeep dealership in Franklin.
I know.
And so all of the same things, the warranties, the return policy. How long is the return policy?
Three days.
3 day return policy. The lifetime warranties.
Unlimited time and miles. Yeah.
Everything they do at Toyota of Cool Springs, they now do at the Dodge Jeep Chrysler in Franklin.
That's pretty awesome.
It's insane.
But you can also find them at toyotaofcoolsprings.com. George is the owner. Go chat with him if you go over there and tell him we said hey. Toyotaofcoolsprings.com.
Oh, you did not just do that.
I know, tell him we said hey.
And tell him Scott and Hino said hey.
No, don't do that.
And tell him. No, stop that. What are you doing that?
We're here with Haley Witters and maybe Bill Lloyd here in a little while, so come on back to
even
the
better,
show.
Emily Schiraldi. We're talking publishing after
yes.
this.
All right, welcome back to the Music Row Show. We're here with Haley Witters, kindly filling in for Bill Lloyd. Hopefully he's okay. And that's another track off her brand new project called Black Sheep. And that song's called Long Come to Jesus, which is the first track on the album. That's a great song.
Thank you.
What's the story behind that one?
Well, I was writing with Matresa Berg. It was the first time writing with Matresa.
Oh, her again. Yeah.
And I was so nervous, obviously, because she writes
awesome.
Everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she's so great. But I like kind of had a verse chorus to that mm-hmm. song. And I brought it in. And I played it. And it was just like 20 seconds of silence.
Ooh.
And I'm just like, oh, no. She hates it. And I need to leave. And then she just like spit out the coolest line. She was like, what'd you say? What if you say this instead? She has a way of doing that. Just mm-hmm. like you say the line and then she twists it and it's 10 times better. And you're like, so anyways, we wrote that song and, that's that story.
She has a real ease about her too.
She does.
You just
except
feel
for when
so
she's
calm.
Silent for 20 seconds.
Yeah, well, you're like that. Super intimidating. Like, what are you thinking right now?
Well, in addition to Haley sticking around, Emily Schiraldi from Carnival is here, and we don't have any prepared intro, so let's just ask a couple quick questions.
Okay.
You've been here for about 6 years, is that right? Or 10 years?
I've been in Nashville for 10. I've been at Carnival for 6.
Carnival for six. And you are a plugger, or what all do you do for them?
I'm a publisher slash artist developer slash manager. We actually don't have, my boss doesn't believe in titles. So he's just like, make us money.
So blank business card. That's awesome.
Do what you love and make us money. Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're going to.
I drove Haley here tonight. Sometimes I do her hair.
Chauffeur. Uh-huh. Yep. Makeup artist.
Jack of all trades.
Wow. Excellent. Jane of all trades.
Jane of all trades.
Yeah.
So you do it all. Well, good. Then we can just ask all sorts of questions.
Yeah.
Let's start with publishing because, Hino gave me is making me work a what do you call it?
It's called an iPad.
An iPad.
And you have an iPhone. They work the same.
This is totally different. I can't. I'm not happy with new technology. Do you guys have the same problem with new technology? They do. Okay.
Now, the Scott's people talking back.
I'm talking to
the
people
audience.
Emily, what are some of the challenges that publishers are facing now that or challenges that didn't even exist, say, 5 years ago? I mean, speaking of technology and how things are constantly changing.
Yeah, I think that one of the biggest challenges that I see is that.
Get on in that microphone. I want to hear you.
Hi.
There we go. Hi.
Is that artists, I mean, the 90s when I grew up and listening to country music, a lot of the artists didn't write their own songs, and now they want to write their own songs.
Sure.
So it's gone from like having like Joe Schmo over here, and they didn't care that he wrote it, to now like you have to get in. Well, you don't have to, but it's a lot more important to get in with the artist,
right.
Which is really hard. It's hard enough to get songs cut. So building relationships and getting to the point where you can get to the artist has been really challenging. That being said, we still believe in 100%ers and writing songs by yourself and great songs. But that's been kind of something that we're pushing for more these days.
Well, so then how do you go about doing that then? You just try to set up co-writes with the artist?
Yeah,
or?
You schmooze. Just get to know their people as much as you can. Try to pick songs and writers who you think would go with certain songs and writers. And a lot of times there are certain writers who write a lot with artists. So maybe you'll try to get your writer with those writers, kind of the next step, and then build up from there to get to the artist. Going on the road with them, if they're artists, like if we can get Haley in front of more artists and they can hear her songs, maybe they'll come to us and be like, hey, we want to write with Haley, that kind of thing. So really, there any avenue we can get down, we try to go down.
I hadn't thought about that, but with the idea of, okay, so we know that these writers write with them, and so it's almost like you have to have these org charts of ways to get to Blake Shelton, ways to get to whoever.
Yeah. Like this guy gets a lot of Blake Shelton cuts. Let's try to get in with him. And
Well, Haley, when you're out touring and you do happen to be opening up for other artists and that kind of thing, is there even a possibility or time to try to write something with somebody when you're out on the road?
I don't have much time on the road, but I know like a lot of people, like if they're gonna be out for a while and stuff, I'm kind of out more on weekend stuff, but when people are out for like a week or whatever, I know they'll bring writers out with them on the road and write in their downtime, like during the week.
Something to do at least, right?
Yeah.
Huh. Who was the first person you opened for when you were playing early on?
It might have been Jody Messina.
Okay.
And do you remember thinking, oh my gosh,
she's
going to love me and we're going to, we're going to.
Oh my God. Yeah. The first, and it was my hometown too. So it was like,
oh really?
So cool.
Wow.
Like I'm opening for Jody Messina, and yeah, it was cool. It was a big deal for me.
Huh. She's awesome. Actually, have you written with her?
Oh.
She would love you.
Yeah, she would.
She really would. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to go back to Emily. What Scott was talking about, all the different changes. What new kind of avenues for income on a song are publishers pursuing that maybe they weren't so much focused on, let's say, 10 years ago?
Yeah, definitely film and TV.
Film and TV.
We were talking about how Haley has a song on Nashville this week. That kind of stuff wasn't around when I first started at Carnival, and now it's definitely something that we're trying to get more into. And then we also, when I first started, we maybe had two artists in development. We also have David Nail. He writes for Carnival and also has an artist deal. When I first started, we mostly just had songwriters. And now we're probably 50-50. We have 50% artists. So that's our way of trying to get more revenue. Let's develop these artists who are also songwriters, so we have their songs, but we can also help them along their journey to be an artist. And
well,
because
the labels aren't putting anything into artist development anymore.
Right, exactly. That's totally a publisher's world now. We're doing a lot of the early A&R, which has been really fun.
What kind of learning curve was that for you guys?
Oh, it was totally a learning curve for me because Haley's the first. Carnival has done some artist development, but Haley's the first artist that I've really worked with. And I was like, I need a manual for this, but there isn't one. But
trial and error.
That's kind of the beauty in it. There isn't a right and wrong way to do it. We just found things that worked and
so I understand what you do as a publisher to develop a writer. I understand mm-hmm. those things. What do you do to develop an artist?
Well, the first thing that we did with Haley was when she had signed with Carnival as a writer, she had written a lot of songs and we liked them, but she hadn't written as a professional songwriter.
Okay.
So I wanted to give her like 2 years to find her artistry. So she just wrote by herself and we had her write up, which means like write with artists or write with writers who are better than you and just tried mm-hmm. all this different stuff. So that was kind of step one for Haley. Like, let's find out who you are as an artist. And once we kind of got a bunch of songs in that we're like, hey, she has something that's original and she's saying something, we were like, okay, let's try to go in the studio. And mm-hmm. we demoed them up. And for her demos, we were always pitching them, but we also wanted to find her sound in them in the studio too. And so that's when Derek came to us, it just all worked out really well. And then from there, once we had the material, we were like, let's get them on the road. So that's kind of the process she's at now. She is working on those road legs all over the country. Yeah. But yeah. And then from there, it's, okay, now let's next try step. To find a major label.
So then talk about that step then. So now you've got the songwriting thing down. Now you've got kind of found your voice. Mm-hmm. But now you've got to go figure out, how to work an audience and all that mm-hmm. kind of thing. How do you go about figuring that? Just by doing it a million times?
Just by jumping in. Yep. I mean, like, even still, I feel like you can play just tons of gigs and still feel so unprepared sometimes when you come across a certain crowd. Like, you never know what the crowd's going to be like. But being on the road a lot more, I know what it's like to play for two people. Mm-hmm. I know what it's like to play for 600 people. I know what it's, luckily I've been playing for a wide range of people. Like Anthony and I, we just went down and played for Leon Russell. We opened some shows for him. And then I've kind of done some more country stuff, Jared Neiman kind of things, a lot of Texas country, Randy Rogers band. Mm-hmm. So I've been like playing for these different audiences, and it's interesting because you got to try and they're all different audiences,
right?
You got to try and win them all over. Sure. You know what I mean? So it keeps me on my toes for sure, but I feel like I've just gotten a lot better at kind of connecting with them and trying to get make them feel involved
with what Emily was just saying about that, taking that first 2 years to help you find your voice and have you write up. So when you first came here and you're writing with these folks that maybe already have success, and what are maybe some of the little songwriting tips that you learned or that were given to you? I'm thinking more just mm-hmm. learn from writing with these people and seeing some of their craft techniques. What are some mm-hmm. of the things that you picked up and said, oh?
Yeah. Well, I feel like it sounds, I don't know. I feel like a little bit not holding back, but I feel like you just sort of start to get just kind of this like ear for like just how things are supposed to fit together mm-hmm. and just kind of not holding back, but more, I'm trying to find like a good word for it. Just like tastefully placing things kind of together mm-hmm. and just like not just coming running right out of the barrel and just like,
subtlety,
loading it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like less is more almost. A little
sure.
bit, I don't know. It's kind of all different. I feel like I've learned a lot from Matresa, like just like the way she's thinking about things.
Twisting around just twisting to find an interesting way
just
to say
it. A little
it.
Bit. Like there was this line that I had that was like, it was something like when I sleep, it sounds so stupid, but like, I can't sleep because you're in my dreams. And then she was like, well, what about like you're living rent free in my dreams? And mm-hmm. I was like, oh, that's cool. You know what I mean? And I used to overthink a lot. That's mm-hmm. one thing that I probably overthought just too much.
When you say overthink, you mean you were kind of in the process stuck. Of editing what you were yes, writing while you
just
were writing
stuck.
It?
I just learned to just let it go.
Okay.
You know, like I was reading a thing with, I think Dina Carter had said, when she gets stuck, she sets the timer for 15 minutes mm-hmm. and just writes. She doesn't think.
Just whatever.
It's just unfiltered, completely unfiltered. And it just is an exercise to just like let go of that tension. And then she'll go back. And if it's something, she'll work on it. But if not, she'll just let it go and then get back to what she was working on. And she's free, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I think, you know, I just like hammered it out for 2 years and I was writing all the time. And so when you're doing that, you are going to get better, you know?
Sure.
Do you remember the first time you wrote with a hit writer or an established writer that does a lot of gibberish? Have you ever had that happen?
What's gibberish?
Like when you're writing with someone and they're going, sassy bee bee bogey, and they're making like baby sounds just to keep the melody going.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden words start forming around the gibberish.
Yeah, and I thought that was so interesting, but freaked now I kind of do it. Yeah.
You do it?
A little bit. Wow. I mean, like I'll just start kind of like playing with a melody or something and spitting out words. Because you never know what's going to trigger somebody, your co-writer, too. You know,
sure.
Like, they'll be like, hey, wait, what'd you just
what'd
say?
What'd you just say?
Yeah. Oh, I thought you said this, and why don't we run, you know,
right.
trigger words. So
I like that. Yeah. And that triggered me to say, we have to take a break right now, but we're going to come back.
What a smooth segue.
I know. We're going to come back with more of Haley Witters here on the Music Roast Show, so come on back. All right, welcome back to the Music Roast Show. That's Pocket Change. Great song off of Haley Witters' CD called Black Sheep.
Haley Witters is our hero because...
She is. She saved our bacon.
And Emily.
And Emily, that's
Emily
right.
Emily saved some bacon.
You are both bacon savers of the day. That is true.
Mexican bacon.
See, you know what? You didn't think you'd hear that today, did you? Bacon savers of
so,
the day.
So, Emily is, of course, with Carnival Publishing, and... We, you know, so many of our listeners are wanting to find their way into this business here in Nashville and are just trying to figure out, hey, how to get those meetings with publishers and, you know, first impressions are pretty important, I would think, to publishers. Not meaning you have to be the greatest writer ever, but what are some things you can do when you finally do get that meeting, with someone in a Carnival? What are some things you can do to make sure that door stays open to you in the future?
Yeah. I always say sometimes people bring songs on CDs or sometimes they play them. I don't think that really matters.
Mm-hmm.
But I always say that movie Walk the Line, there's Sam Phillips is talking to Johnny Cash and he says something like, if you got hit by a car and you were laying in a ditch, what's the last song you would play? Is that the song you would play or would you play something different? Would you play something that means something? So that's what I always kind of, not that people are getting hit by a car.
So yeah,
the
first
last
thing you
song
do,
ever
get hit
play.
By a car. Yeah.
You know, some people just want to play like a safe song or something they think would sound good on the radio. But uh-huh. I'm just like, play something that's you, you know,
sure.
Play something that if you walk out of here and I don't like it, you're like, you know what? That's my favorite song that I've written. So I'd rather play what I'd love and fail than play what I'm not even that passionate about. I just think it would work and she didn't even like that either, you know?
Right.
So.
Well, talk about writing when people try to write for what they think is on the radio, because we've talked about this on the show many times that, you know, what's being written now is not what's on the radio now. It's
right.
Probably what's going to be on the radio a year or two from now.
Exactly.
So what do you want to hear from people? I mean, when they do try to write something or play something that's like on the radio now, what do you tell them?
That I've heard that before. That it might even be a well-written song. And, you know, different publishers like different things. But for me, I want to hear something that's original, something that I feel something when you sing it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's as simple as that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Feel something.
Okay, so What are some things you absolutely should not do when you get that first meeting?
I always think it's funny when like people come to me and there's like 25 songs on a CD. I'm like, whoa, now, okay.
Play them all.
Yeah. So narrow it down to, you know, your best few. And then I always like when people follow up, you know, send me a song a month. And sometimes I respond and sometimes I might not respond, but like a constant every day, like, here's a song, or what'd you think of that song? Or if I didn't respond, I probably didn't like it. So, but it's important to be persistent. So definitely following up. And then I always think too, you know, asking them about if there are other publishers who are looking. I think that's fine. Sometimes there are certain publishers who we know are looking for writers, and I might know somebody who I think would like you. So it's totally
it's a small community.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to make sure I understand what you just said.
Up with that too, and say, hey, I know you.
So the writer to say, hey, do you know if there's any other publishers that I might be a good fit with?
They'll ask me that, and I'm not scared to answer that. And sometimes I don't know anyone, but if I do know people, then I'm happy to, you know, do a little introduction and send them my favorite song of that person's and see what happens from there.
Okay.
How nice are you?
The worst that people can do is say no, you know. But, and then playing for new writers too, playing out is super important. Right, I think probably every single one of our current writers played at a hotel bar at some point. So it's not always going to be glamorous, but starting there, and then that's kind of where you meet
like other writers,
who are at your level. And I can think of people who came up with in the same class, I guess you can say, as Haley. Who are all signed right now, who all played at Hotel Indigo. So,
right.
Okay. Yeah, Florida Georgia Line used to play.
They
Hotel
did.
That's
right.
Although it's called something else
it's
now.
It's a loft.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
I was just there Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. They're probably going to change the name again.
Now. Yeah, they are. Yeah. They changed the locks, I can tell you that.
All right. Well, listen, we need to take one more break, but we're going to come back with a little bit more of Haley Winters, and maybe we can even get another song out of her. We'll see. So come on back to the Music Row Show.
I'm the cover girl for Unavailable Men Want Me, 2 a.m. and I'll come right over, quick turnover, then on to the next.
Welcome back to the Music Row Show. We're here with Haley Winters, and that's a tune off her brand new project called Black Sheep, and the song's called Get Around.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Yeah. That's the song that made my wife gasp. You have to listen to that song. It's really great. And actually, we were actually just talking during the break, and we did manage to twist her arm, and she did manage to agree to sing us another song.
Yes.
What do you feel like playing for us?
We're going to play City Girl, since that's going to be on Nashville Wednesday.
Yeah.
Fits the program. So,
let's do it.
Yeah, we'll play City Girl.
City girls have all the fun. They go out every night. They go bar hopping and they drink a ton. They do whatever feels right. I'm out here in the boondocks watching a cat chase a squirrel. Oh, when I die, if I come back, I wanna be a city girl. Well, city girls all look so good, but I bet it ain't that hard. With a Neiman Marcus in your neighborhood, no limit on your credit card. I'm on the floor rolling up change so I can get my hair curled. Hey, if I had three wishes, they'd be the same. I wanna be a city girl. I wanna wear high. Smart. They got it figured out. Now they ain't sent home with a broken heart. I wish I was one right now. I'm out here, mama's in the den, watching my name is Earl. Oh, if I could do it all over again, I'd wanna be a city girl. I wanna wear high heel shoes and have something to do, but I'm living in the middle of nowhere, singing these country blues.
Ooh. Yeah.
Woo!
Anthony Olympia over there, making me sound good.
Well,
that was pretty awesome.
You were making yourself sound good too. That's great. That is great. So we had somebody on Facebook.
We did have somebody on Facebook wanting to know when you're coming to Iowa and where they can see you.
You said his name is Bill. I wonder if it's my dad.
I don't know.
I'm joking. It's not. It's not. I don't think he's.
Yeah. When are you coming? Home? Will you be here for Thanksgiving?
Yeah. Really.
Yeah. Seriously.
Can you book a show in Iowa so that you can come home for Thanksgiving?
No. I don't have anything on the books right now. I'm hoping to come back this fall definitely and play an album release show. But as soon as I get something, I'll be posting about it on my website, HaleyWitters.com, or on my social media. So.
Or AuntTina.com.
AuntTina.
That's www.AuntTina.com. Yeah. Check that website.
Really,
out.
I'm just waiting on her to get her calendar to me so we can try.
Yeah, because you want to coordinate that.
Yeah,
I mean,
we
that's
make sure she's
that's
there.
Half the show right
oh,
there.
Oh, I thought you meant like her calendar.
Yeah, to make sure
she's got a calendar coming out.
She needs a calendar.
You know?
The different bars of Cedar Rapids.
Your lips to God's ears right there.
That's a great idea.
Good.
That's a great idea. So, okay. You're playing all over the place. You have a publisher working with you. I guess, you know, we were asking her, Emily, about development. What are some of the things that have surprised you as you start working more towards, you know, the artist development? Mm-hmm. What are some of the aspects that you're like, right, I wouldn't have never even thought about that as part of this?
I feel like just... What's funny to me, I feel like if people outside of the music business knew how much we thought about everything we did, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? They probably wouldn't think we're as rock and roll as we are, you know? But I just feel like there are so many things. Just I'm definitely a lot busier. Just, mm-hmm. you know, so much going on right now. But I mean, just everything, like, you know, shows and set list and planning that and, you know, social media all the time and... You know, what I'm looking like and what I'm sounding like, just everything. It all goes into account now, you know?
Sure.
I'm not just like being a hermit and writing songs in my house anymore. It's like there's so much behind the scenes that needs to go on.
How much of the social media are you personally tackling?
A lot of it.
Yeah?
Yeah, I try and I'm always on like pretty much whenever I'm responding to something, it's me, you know. I try and stay really active and social media. I feel like that's something for our generation for sure. That's
sure.
really, I feel like Taylor Swift probably.
Who?
I feel like she was really good about that early on. And it's good. You know, your fans feel involved and, you know, they're tweeting about you and talking to you. And I like it. I like to talk to them.
Do you ever hit that wall where you're like, what? I know I need to tweet something, but.
Yes. And
what
I hate that.
Do
and
I
it's
tweet
like
about?
All these different platforms. You know, I wish you could just hit send everything.
Everything. Yeah.
You know, because it really does take up. That's the downside of it. I really think it takes up a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes you out of things and just puts you like this to your phone.
Right.
You
right.
know,
it takes you out of that. Creative zone where you
yeah.
are just not really thinking and
yeah.
then all of a sudden you're like, oh wait, I just got a post.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one thing I wish, you know, like being an artist, you know, it's like I love the creative process so much. I wish I had a lot more time for that. But now it's like, now that I have this album coming out, it's a lot of different, it's like right brain, left brain, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of other stuff that goes into being an artist other than just writing the songs and recording
and
them
and playing
them out.
Yeah.
Now it's promoting the album and all that, you know? So, I love both sides, but I am excited to get back to the writer room.
Yeah. Because the business side definitely is a lot less glamorous.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work. even if you've got an amazing team behind you like Emily and folks like that. So
Well, you are wonderful, and if you know anything we can do for you, you just gave us an extra hour, and
that's awesome.
Emily came in.
I enjoyed it so much.
When you're a huge star, please come back and do our show sometime.
Yep. That'll never happen when she's a big star.
When that door closes, she'll.
She's like, I will totally come back any Sunday.
Okay, great. All right. Great. This has been fun. Thank you very much.
Once again, HaleyWitters.com, at HaleyWitters everywhere else.
Right.
Go check that out. The new album is called Black Sheep. You want to definitely get that. That's what it looks like right there. It is good. I've actually listened to it today a lot, and it's great.
Thank you.
Check it out, everybody. We got another great show coming up next week.
You know what we're doing?
Yes.
It's our Frank Brown preview night.
Nice.
We got a bunch of Frank Brown writers that are going to come in, and we're going to just get sand in our toes and have a good old time.
That's what we're going to do. You can find out a lot more about it at themusicrowshow.com and all of our social stuff at The Music Row Show.
We should make Bushwhackers.
We should. Yeah. We'll see you next week on The Music Row Show.
Yeah.